This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so very happy and pleased to be with you today on this Wednesday in the Lord. We thank Him and give Him praise for all of the blessings that He bestows upon us each and every day, in each and every moment, in each and every second, without ceasing. And that's the great reality. That's the great truth. So every moment is pregnant with the life of God. We simply need to receive and move in it. Yes, that's the goal, especially as we make our way through this Holy Week. It's a very poignant time, isn't it? And it's a time when we really use the gift of our imagination and the gift of our faith to lead us into the reality of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection, which is our means of salvation, right? This is what opened heaven's gates for each and every one of us, and all of the glory poured out upon us. But this is an ever-present reality. You know, in a certain way, our Lord is always offering Himself to the Father for us. And we celebrate this reality at the Mass. That is what the Mass is. It's an eternal sacrifice. It's an eternal sacrifice to the Father. So though Jesus came at a particular moment in time, that moment of time did not confine Him, nor did it confine His actions. The greatest action of all, of course, the bringing of our salvation. So that action is not contained in an historic moment. It is ever present. It is ever true. It is ever available. So I don't know where you are in your own walk with our Lord right now, but I want you to know there's more. There's more because our God is a God of infinitude, immeasurable, unquantifiable. There is no quality of grace, of goodness that He lacks. And it's always available to you. So if you've been away for a while, if you're living in sin right now, if you're following a path that's leading you on the way of perdition rather than on the way of perfection, I want to encourage you to turn around. Turn around. Turn around. The Greek word for that is metanoia, right? Go in the opposite direction, because there is hope for you, there's healing for you, there's new life for you. And God wants you to know all of it. He really, really does. There's no sin that you've ever committed that's greater than His mercy. It's a lie and a tactic of the evil one to try to convince you that there is, to try to convince you that you've committed it. No. No sin is greater than the mercy of God. So please, you know, this is the perfect time, the perfect opportunity, the perfect moment. Maybe Jesus is speaking to you right now in the inner confines of your heart. You know, be receptive. Hear the voice of God. When He comes and He knocks at the door of your heart, open it wide. Let Him in. See what He can do for you. Today is also a very important day in the life of EWTN. It's the anniversary date of Mother's passing. This happened 8 years ago. It was a poignant moment for all of us, a sorrowful moment for all of us. We grieved, and yet we rejoiced, because here was a woman who showed us the way in which to go. You know, I think that when I think about the great feminine genius, the reality that is ours by way of our authentic femininity, and here I'm speaking specifically to the women, obviously, you know, there are certain figures that come into our mind, some of which we know from antiquity, you know, a lot of the great saints, especially so many of the early saints, the early female martyrs, but then, you know, studded with these very great depictions, if you will, maybe even stronger than that, icons of what authentic femininity is, what the feminine genius is. And in contemporary times, we've had those shining stars as well. We've had St. Teresa of Calcutta, for example, right? We've had St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, another one, contemporary woman, both canonized saints. We have Mother Angelica, not a canonized saint, but certainly a mother who displayed those qualities of the feminine genius, that receptivity. Receptivity, that's what we were talking about a moment ago, being receptive to God. Mother Angelica embodied receptivity. She embodied another characteristic of the feminine person, surrender. Mother was completely surrendered to the will of God. And once she knew what that will was, let me tell you, nothing was going to dissuade her. Absolutely nothing was going to dissuade her. And she came up against big hurdles. But nonetheless, those hurdles would not have the victory over her. It would be the will of the Father that had the victory over her. She was completely surrendered to God. And by that, it was an act of total self-donation. You know, that is what surrender is, right? That is what love is. It's surrendering yourself to another, not in a, you know, resignation, you know, flying a white flag, but rather as an act of love, a desire to give yourself completely to God. And she gave herself completely to God in every way. And then, of course, there is that beautiful other quality that Mother Angelica so displayed and that I take such great, guidance from. And that is trust. She trusted in God. She trusted in God. She trusted in God. She trusted in God. She didn't always know exactly where the benefit of God would come. I mean, in terms of financial matters, for example, or even in the legal matters that have to be faced when you're building up an enterprise like Mother was building, even in light of some of the decisions of the church and churchmen who had a certain antipathy towards Mother. You know, Mother trusted God, and in trusting God, she saw the providence of God. In trusting God, she experienced that beautiful reality of the salvation of souls that came by way of this network. So on this day, where we commemorate the anniversary of Mother's entrance into eternal life, you know, I would just ask you to wing a prayer for Mother. Ask Mother's intercession in your life. I do that every day in my time of prayer. Asking our Lord to help you to live out. And even the masculine dimension, right? Even you gentlemen, you too are called to be receptive, to be trusting, to be surrendered. Not in the same way as we women, but in your way, in your masculine way. And Mother, I know, would love to intercede for you. So please do ask her. And, you know, on this day, we just thank you, God, for the gift of Mother Angelica. We thank you for the gift of this network that you've built up because of her receptivity, trust, and surrender. We thank you, Lord, for all of the souls that have been saved, countless numbers of souls that have been saved, Lord, by way of your mercy flowing through the airwaves via EWTN television and EWTN radio. We thank you, Lord, that you are magnificent in your power and that you deem, maybe say deign, condescend to use the likes of us to be these propagators of your word, to participate in your field of salvation, in your own act of salvation. May we always be conduits of that redemptive grace as Mother Angelica so clearly was and remains in eternal life. A beautiful channel of the divine life. And so it is that we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. When we come back, it's Wednesday. Sue Brinkman's here. It's a wacky Wednesday on Women of Grace. We're going to be taking your calls. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number for you in North America. 833-288-3986. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, giving you all a little wave. Use that. Put your question in there. We'll get it. Coming right back after the break. Stay with us. Well, welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. You know it's Wednesday when you hear that music, right? It obviously is. I am here with Sue Brinkman today. On Wednesdays, we dedicate the day to answering questions about some of the strange things that we see going on in our culture. I mean, these, you know, false spiritualities and ideologies that people are flocking to. It's become so much a part of the fabric of our day and time that we can't even isolate it anymore. It's just been weaved into everything. But the fact of the the matter is, you know, this stuff really is very much in opposition to the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. This stuff is going to get you into spiritual trouble. Spiritual trouble, a big S, a big T, spiritual trouble. It doesn't stand for state, saint in that sentence. It stands for spiritual trouble. So we try to unpack some of this with you, and we take your questions on it. So I'm going to give you the phone number to use. It's toll free for you here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I invite you to get out there and to use it. We want for you to join us here with your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there to put in your question or comment. We'll get it retrieved and we will have it. So I certainly do invite you to give us a call. Hey there, Sue Brinkman, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing just wonderful on this Holy Week.
Oh, well, I am glad to hear it. It's a big week, isn't it?
Yes, it is. My favorite week of the year is the Holy Week. It's just so many beautiful traditions and rituals in our church. They just go back to the first century. And I just love that. I just love it. People say, oh, how could you sit through that 2.5 hour mass on the Easter Vigil? And it's like, I enjoy every second of it. I think it's so beautiful.
It is. It you know, it's interesting because, and I was telling everybody yesterday or the day before, I don't remember which now, that St. Athanasius called Easter Sunday the Great Sunday, and it's one long day for 8 days. That's what the octave is. We celebrate this great reality. This is the highest holy day, you know, in our faith.
Yes.
is Easter Sunday. And we forget about that. You know, we don't look at it that way. And of course, we, you know, want to be very present to what the passion and the death has wrought for us, the gift of our salvation. But we celebrate the resurrection from the dead because, you know, that is a sign that, you know, God has the last word. The evil one did not triumph, is not going to triumph, has not triumphed. And he only triumphs in our lives to the extent that we give him leeway to do so, right?
That's right. That's right. And then when we do observe, of course, the Eucharist on the Holy Thursday Mass, that is so close to my heart, the Blessed Sacrament. I just love that particular service, too. But we get a chance on Good Friday to not just reflect on Jesus' passion and death, but I like to sit there and think about Jesus went through all this for me.
That's right.
Personally, he went through that for me with all of my problems. You think, why would anyone do that for somebody like me? He did that for me. And it's just a time of year for me to just sit there and just meditate on that he did all these things for me. I just, like I said, every day of the Triduum to me has something special built into it every single day. And you're right about it being 8 days long, our Easter celebration, because you're right, the octave is quickly follows that. And it is just a joyful time. It's a joyful time in the church. All of our prayers, Liturgy of the Hours, everything is joyful.
Yep. Yeah. Father Ed always would comment on the fact that, you know, we have 40 days of Lent. The Triduum is sort of like its own separate little liturgical season, if you will. It's a mini season. So Lent actually ends on with the beginning of the Triduum, which is the Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday night.
Holy Thursday.
Yeah. But he says, so Lent is 40 days. But, you know, the church gives us, of course, we've got that one big 8-octave day, you know, and he said, but the church gives us 50 days of celebration to Pentecost Sunday, you know, and this is all the whole beautiful reality that we are festive for a longer period of time than a time of great mourning because of the great gift of our salvation.
That's so wonderful. Not only does he give us 50 days, but it culminates on Pentecost.
I know.
We get the gift of the Holy Spirit. I mean, what more do you want? I mean, it's like, he just showers us with this beautiful stuff, and we just have to sit and open our hearts to it. And if our hearts aren't quite that open, we just ask him to help us. That's all. Just
That's
ask
right.
him to help us. I know we get all busy and tied up in things, and we tend to climb into our little boxes, and we can't find our way out. You know how that is with life being as busy as it is. So just, you know, if you get a chance to just sit down and pray and ask the Holy Spirit, you can open my heart to all that's going on this week,
right.
that I really enjoy this and really walk that lonely road with Jesus to his passion, his death, and then to watch him rise from the dead on Easter Sunday and know all of that joy in my heart. Why would we want to miss that?
Yeah. Sojourn with our Blessed Lady as she accompanies her son, and then sojourn with Mary Magdalene when she comes to the tomb and finds him resurrected and meets him resurrected. Oh, my goodness. But we don't get there except by way of the passion and death. So, you know, do be attentive, friends, to this upcoming Triduum. Allow yourself to enter into it. I love what you shared with us there, Sue. Make it very personal. Sometimes, you know, when we universalize it, and it, like he died for everyone, of course he did, but that everyone includes you. And when we allow ourselves to look at it from that personal lens, it makes all the difference in the world.
It sure does.
Well, Sue, you know, we're going to get to our topic here today. And friends, we want you to call us 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live. As we tell you all the time, we do love having that holy conversation with you. And we can't converse with you if you don't call us. So please do call us or leave your question or comment for us there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We're also available for you out there. If you're outside of North America, the number to use is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. We're only too happy to retrieve it. I think it's Michael McCall that's out there retrieving, Matthew Gubensky on the phones, and we've got Ace McKay, the one and only Ace McKay, in studio producing for us today. So we sing out a big welcome to Ace. Happy that you've joined our little team here. So Sue, you know, last week we get so many questions that we oftentimes don't get to some of the topics that we've set aside. So let's take a moment at the beginning of our time together here to talk about some of the things that we haven't really had an opportunity to discuss. And Disney's coming out with a horrific film called Pauline. Oh. I want you to tell us about this. I just can't get over what Disney's
it's
doing.
It's a series. Oh, my Lord. Please, Jesus, have mercy on us. Please sit down, anybody who's listening to this, because this is terrible. Disney has now sunk to a new low. And to release a new series, it's called Pauline. It's a series now. And it follows the exploits of a teenage girl who falls in love with Satan. She has a one-night stand with Satan and becomes pregnant. And the whole story is made into this wonderful romance between her and Satan. Mm. Believe it or not, this is what it is. And as they advertise it, they say, with school stress, the climate crisis, and the downfall of society weighing heavily on her mind, something she doesn't need at all right now is catching feelings, especially not for her one-night stand, Lucas, who, as it turns out, is the devil himself. Mm. So they make this so playful little thing here, and the producers of it say how this project is very close to their hearts. I'm thinking, really? You want to explain that a little bit? Why we would do that? They call it a coming-of-age story. This is a coming-of-age story about a teenager who has a one-night stand with Satan and has a baby. The whole thing is just completely sordid. It's aimed at youth, the last people that you want to be leading in this direction. We're their gatekeepers. We're the people who are supposed to be protecting our young people, not exposing them to things like this. So Ted Baer, thankfully, he's the chairman and founder of Movie Guide. He's leading a charge to prevent the release of the series, and he has a whole campaign going. You can sign the petition. We have a blog up on our website with a link to that, a place where you can add your name to the list to stop this from happening. He writes here, he says, by normalizing and promoting such a relationship, Pauline sends a dangerous message to young viewers that associating with demons, Satan, and evil is acceptable and even sexy or desirable.
Yes.
He said, I'm certain that if it's released, this show will have a horrible cognitive and emotional effect on our youth. They're already saturated with this stuff. Why do we need something else? So right now it's just playing in Germany. That's where it's being shown at the moment, but they want to bring it over here. Now, Disney is maybe going to let Hulu pick it up because they're trying to distance themselves from it because they're already feeling the pinch of this controversy. So if you can sign up and get on that petition to get them to stop, maybe we can pull the whole thing completely so that it doesn't show anywhere in the United States. But it's on the way. So we need to do things to protect ourselves from Pauline. That's the name of the show, is Pauline.
Well, we don't even want it to play anywhere in the world, because the corporate weight of this kind of a thing is certain to oppress the entirety of mankind. I mean, I don't think that we understand how this plays right into the hand of Satan. And I don't think that we understand that, you know, what's being said here. You know, we talk about making a pact with the devil, but here what is happening in this film, if you think about this in the you know, Christian anthropology, what's basically taking place here is that this girl is giving her the entirety of her being, to the evil one. She is submitting to the ultimate act of union. You know, it's so bad, and it makes you wonder, you know, how does the imagination, first of all, come up with such a plot, but then how is it that the soul, you know, we can just relinquish ourselves to that, you know, that we can invest ourselves into that kind of a notion. It sort of reminds me, I don't know if you remember, Sue, and some of you I know listening today will remember the movie that came out years ago. I think it was in the early 70s, and it was Rosemary's Baby. Mm-hmm. I think Mia Farrow played the lead in that, and it was a diabolical movie. It was about Satanists, and and this woman, outside of her free will, became impregnated by the devil, and that was Rosemary's Baby. And you know, I can remember that people were appalled by it. But this was not cast in a positive light. It was cast in a negative light. I mean, I think that it was meant to appall. Certainly it was, a horror film in a certain sense. But by the same token, you know, society at that point, it was really beginning to fracture in terms of a moral sensibility. The culture was beginning to fracture, but today it's been ripped completely asunder. And we've been given life at this moment to put it back together again with the grace of God.
And we need to do that. I mean, it's so overt now. It used to be covert before.
That's right.
I mean, you look at these seemingly innocent shows like I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched and that. But if you really look at that, and especially people who study and write about witchcraft and the growth of witchcraft in the United States will tell you about that. That was really what was opening the door and mm-hmm. slowly beginning to desensitize people
to
the use of magic, to witchcraft, and trying to give witchcraft a nicer look, so to speak. But yeah, it's very overt now. It's very little is coming against it, except people like us, and then they just brand us, you know, they label us, and that's how they get rid of us, by just calling us, you know, marginalized kooks. But really what the whole problem is here is that people, they don't understand who Satan is.
No.
They have no clue who he is.
Well, they don't really believe in him as you know, a person.
Exactly.
And he is a person. The angelic is, personhood belongs to the angels and to man. And he's a fallen angel.
And people don't want to believe that. I wrote a Mm-mm. blog about that just this week. Why do people deny the existence of Satan? They want to call it everything other than what it is, that he is a personal being. And I refer back to Pope St. Paul VI, who explained in that very famous 1972 discourse on the devil. He said that one of the ways that people kind of dismiss the devil is they say it's like a lack of something, it's a deficiency. He says, we are speaking of evil as a deficiency, a lack of something. If someone is ill, he lacks health. If someone is poor, he lacks money, and so on. This is not the case when we speak about the devil, he said. That is why this is a terrible reality. We are not dealing with a deficiency, an evil caused by the lack of something. We must realize that we face an efficiency that is evil in itself, an existing evil, an evil that is a person. An evil that we cannot classify as corruption of goodness. We are speaking of an affirmation of evil. And if this doesn't frighten us, it should.
Mm-hmm.
But see, it doesn't mm-hmm. frighten people who are writing movies like this and coming up with these books and these video games and other movies. It doesn't frighten because they don't understand this, or they're denying this and just saying, he's just a deficiency of something. He's just a symbol. We went through all that. You know, not that long ago mm-hmm. with a Jesuit priest, Father Arturo Sosa, Father George Sosa, Superior General at the time of Society of Jesus in 2019. And he said, oh, you know, evil devil is just a symbol. It's not a person. And there was a huge blowback over that, thankfully. And he had to come out and clarify it and rather correct himself. But this is what people are doing. This is how they just dismiss it. And they just believe, well, if I don't believe it, then it's not true.
That's right.
It's not going to hurt me. It's like, no, it is going to hurt you. You're taking a big chance.
Well, you know,
I choose not to believe.
It's the relativism of our day and time. You know, mm-hmm. If I choose not to believe this is going to hurt me, it's not going to hurt me. We'll try that and walk into oncoming traffic. I mean, you know, none of it makes any sense. You know, it doesn't make any sense, but it's convenient. And we've fallen victim to convenience. I want to do this, therefore, I will adopt an ideology or a system of thinking that permits me to do it. And, I was lamenting about this, you know, just the other day that, you know, we've become terribly soft as people. We don't want to face suffering. We don't want to face struggle. We don't want to dig down deeply into ourselves so that the greatest part of our being, which would be virtue, can come to the fore. We don't even want to work to develop virtue. We just want to allow ourselves to drift along doing what we want to do. And the thing of it is, it doesn't bring happiness. You know, that's the point. It doesn't bring any happiness because we allow ourselves to be deficient in that way. We're preventing the good from really rising up in us. Well, listen, friends, we've got lots more coming on the other side of the break, but we want you to bring some of that lots more. You can do that by giving us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Available for you as well out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, asking you to use that chat feature to get your question or comment in there. Jose called and left a message for us. We're going to get to Jose's question, and we've got more on the other side of the break. We've got an email that's come in for us as well, but we really want to hear your wonderful voice today. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Coming right back on the other side of the break.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. Looking forward to hearing from you. Yes, I am. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us. That's 833-288-3986. Do give us a call here today. We're eager to talk with you. It's Wednesday. It's Wacky Wednesday in these parts, and we're inviting you to call in. Sue Brinkman is with us. If you have any questions about strange things that you're seeing going on out there, well, we want to talk about it with you. We want to separate the truth, you know, from the non-truth, the light from the darkness. That's what we want to do here. So do give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. Available for you as well out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Just use the chat feature there. We'll get your question or comment retrieved and up on the board. We have Matthew Gubensky answering phones. Michael McCall, I think it's Michael McCall, that is taking your information from EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. And we've got Ace McKay running the controls today, and I'm happy about that. How wonderful to have him with us. Well, so we went to that break. We were talking about all kinds of things. I do want to remind everybody, however, that we are going to be televising the Solemn Mass. I do believe that this is the Papal Mass for Easter Sunday at 4 a.m. On Sunday morning. So if you would like to view that, of course, it's going to be available for you. And you can listen to it. You can listen to it right here on EWTN Radio. So Sue, you know, I went out there and I just did a little quick check. Rosemary's Baby actually came out in 1968. It was touted as a psychological horror film written and directed by Roman Polanski. And it was based on a 1967 novel. So the idea is that, you know, this was a horror film. What you're talking about with Pauline is a romance. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
So, I mean, how far we have come in these, you know, intervening not quite 60 years. It is horrific to contemplate. But we're really living in a post-truth, post-Christian society. And, you know, as you were sharing with us prior to the break in your blog, you outline so much of this for us. So I want you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Sue's New Age blog is there. She's updating it all of the time. She's giving us new information all of the time. It's available for you out there. Just go to womenofgrace.com. It's advertised right on the homepage. You can get there directly by going to newage.womenofgrace.com. It'll take you straight there. So you can try that if you prefer. But get out there and take a look at these articles that Sue writes. It's going to help you so very, very much. We know that this blog is accessed. It's a worldwide audience that we have for that blog, including many priests, many exorcists. We invite you to use it as well. Sue also does podcasts for us. They are located in the library section of our website, Grace Under Fire, Exposing the Darkness. She'll take these topics and she will develop a podcast based on them. So if you prefer to receive information podcast style, they're there for you. If you prefer to read, the blog is there for you. So we invite you to get out there. Our phone lines are beginning to light up. Friends, we've still got room for you though. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I want to get to Jose, and then I want to get to that email, and I'm going to ask you, Rick, to hang on there because we're going to get to you very quickly. But Jose called in and left this with Matt, and Matt put it up for us. Sue Brinkman, I heard that people have the same experience on some mushrooms, that they go to the same place and meet the same guide. How is this possible if they don't really open up a doorway to another dimension?
Oh, they open up a doorway, all right. But it's not just to another dimension. It's the dimension where Satan lives. And he's controlling that whole thing. Now, why does he do that? Well, he's very well known for his antics when people are on drugs. Because you're vulnerable at that time. Your guard is down. You're sitting there experiencing a happy little high while he's sneaking in your back door and eating your lunch. That's exactly what happens there. He takes over. And he is the one who is guiding that, and he's going to make sure that the same things happen again, so that you'll ask exactly these questions, and it'll make it look this way. Satan is very, very clever. He has a mental acuity that's far beyond anything that we can even imagine, and he can set things up like this, and he does it very slowly, patiently, and gradually, and he'll set this whole thing up to have you believe that this guide that you're seeing while you're taking these particular mushrooms is actually someone that you need to consort with. That's what he's going to do. And look at how effective it is. It is, right? I mean, you have to admit it, Jose. It's very effective. It sure does seem that way, that something special is going on. But really, what it is the demon. Yeah. He's out there playing with your head while you're in a vulnerable state and in an altered state of consciousness.
Oh, and I'm a little unclear on precisely what it is that Jose is referring to. He says, but I heard that people have the same experiences on some mushrooms, meaning that this seems to be an experience over a wide range of individuals. They take these mushrooms, whatever kind of mushroom it is, and they all, independently of each other, meet this same guide, and you know, but we know that that's not, you know, what do I want to say? It's not a guide in the sense of somebody giving you help and assistance. This is a demon, and it's interesting because the idea is here: these people obviously repeat these taking of the mushrooms. So he's little by little reeling them in, and then in a sense verifying their experience through other individuals who have the same experience.
Exactly. And just the fact that he starts out by, you know, this guide will probably seem to be a very nice guide, a very wise guide, gentle, caring. That's how Satan does things. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to win you over. He's not going to come out and look like a horrible monster who wants to destroy you. He's not going to do that at all. He's going to pose as something exactly the opposite, something that he knows you will trust. How does he know what you will trust? Well, he's been watching you all your life. Mm-hmm. He knows exactly what you need in order for you to give trust to somebody. So this is, again, people don't understand Satan. They don't understand basic demonology. If they knew who he was, if they knew what the powers of a preternatural being are, they wouldn't be as fooled by these things as they
are. That's right. Yeah, Pope Paul VI, you quoted him earlier, and if you have the name of that document, give it to us, because y'all might want to take a look at it. But I remember him saying that, you know, that he felt that one of the greatest things that we would be facing, you know, in the coming future and the not distant future, it was already there, was this lack of reality in the devil, and that it leaves us so very, very vulnerable. And he was right on that. Do you have the name of that particular letter?
Yes. It was called Confronting the Devil's Power, and it was actually a general audience that he gave in 1972. And in my article, I link to the full text of it, which is on EWTN's website.
Well, there you go.
So we'll take you right to it.
Yeah. Okay, folks. Well, you've got that. So now here is the email that we got, and then we're going to go off to with phone lines here. Still room for you, friends, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Okay, so this comes. It says, "Hi, Women of Grace. I found a dream catcher when going through my mother's belongings. It's from St. Joseph's Indian School. I'm guessing she had donated to this school. Can I hang this dream catcher in my home, or should I toss it out? Not sure what to do with these." And then she sent us a picture of it. So, you know, Sue, what about these dream catchers?
It just depends on whether or not she wants to have this in her home or not. Let me just tell you what a dream catcher is. We look at it as just kind of like a little nice Native American decoration of some kind, but it has a great deal of meaning to Native Americans. According to the legend about it, it was given in a vision to a spiritual leader by a spirit who was named Iktomi. And this Iktomi was a spirit who was a searcher of wisdom. And he appeared in the form of a spider. And using the leader's willow hoop, which he had decorated with feathers and beads, Iktomi began to weave this web that represented the good and the bad forces of life. And when he was finished, he had created this web in the shape of a perfect circle that had a hole in the middle. And he gave it to the leader, and he told him to allow his people to use the web to achieve their dreams. And if they believe in the Great Spirit, the web will filter their good ideas and trap the bad ones. So, you know, because Native Americans believe that the night air is filled with dreams, this is just one of their beliefs, both good and bad dreams, that they would hang a dream catcher over or near their bed at night in order to filter their dreams. So obviously using that dream catcher in this way would be to use it in superstition. That would be a superstition. It would be like a talisman. If you just have this dream catcher and you're sure that it's never been blessed, it sounds to me as if it came from a school called St. Joseph's, if I believe that was the name that you referenced, Johnette, in the email. More than likely it was not. And it's just a symbol of something. But I would leave it up to her. That's what a dream catcher is. Do you really want to have that hanging in your house, or maybe just keep it someplace else? I would say that's leave that up personally to her to make that decision herself as to whether or not she would want to do it. I personally don't decorate my house with anything like that has superstitions behind it. I do not use them.
No, I don't either. And I take a little, probably a little stronger stand. It's like, okay, so this, regardless of how we look at it, what was this created for? It's created for that. So I just kind of feel as though just hanging it up is not really representative of what we as Catholics believe, nor is it representative of things that we as Catholics would do. So I'm not something that, you know, it's not something that I would consider to be helpful in any way. So I would go there. So St. Joseph's Indian School is out there. You can look it up online if you want to, friends. And it's a school that works with Native American children, and that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful outreach. And I'm sure that this being just a part of the culture is something that they thought would be a value or interest to people who donate. But I don't know. I think a miraculous medal would be better. Anyway, let's move on.
Me too. Why not?
Go ahead, Ms. Sue.
I was just going to say, why not a miraculous medal? I mean, you know, it's never been a wonderful thing to do rather than a dream catcher. I'm putting people in this predicament. What do I do with this now,
you know? Exactly. No. Let's go to Marie. She's in New York. She's listening to us via Sirius XM Station 130. Good morning to you, Marie.
Good morning.
Good morning. It sounds like you're driving along.
I am. Just a speaker.
Okay.
I am, I'm concerned because I wake up really early in the morning. Something wakes me up. But I have this overwhelming feeling like something is going to happen, not just like to me, but to the world, and that I have no control over it, and all I can do is be prepared. And we've had a lot of power outages and big huge snowstorms up here, and it's been really difficult, and I have 3 children and 7 grandchildren, and I'm worried about them. But I wanted to know if having a feeling of
foreboding.
Yes, it's just it's something I can't explain it. And my husband comes down and he looks at me because I'm awake. It's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and he says, "Are you okay?" And I think I don't know, and I can't think straight. And so I pray, and you know, we went to church for Palm Sunday, and they sang the hymn, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" I had absolute chills through my whole body. It was very, very intense. I don't know what to do with all of this feeling.
Okay, so do you want to respond to Marie?
Yeah, I would just to be safe, I would begin a habit before you go to bed at night of sprinkling that room with holy water, and also of beginning to engage in prayers of protection for yourself. I particularly pray to your guardian angel to protect you from these feelings of dread, because this could be a spirit. This could be a spirit who is filling you with feelings of foreboding. There are spirits of fear, anxiety. It could be any one of those spirits. And I never get out of bed without saying the perimeter prayer in the morning. These are all things that you can find on CatholicExorcism.com, which is Monsignor Rossetti's site. He's got plenty of prayers, and I would make it a daily habit to say those prayers and to begin to involve yourself in some kind of spiritual warfare against these kind of feelings that you're having. Also, I would take a break from reading any of these end times websites, which can be very frightening. We get mail here, Johnette. And I know this, we get mail from people who are just freaked out over the stuff that they're reading there. I would start to stay away from some of that stuff and develop your own personal trust in the Lord, that he'll take care of you no matter what happens. But as for that waking up, there's something about that didn't sit right with me, Johnette. I don't know if you feel the same way. This didn't sit right, that she's getting woken up in the middle of the night and she just has these terrible feelings of dread that something's going to happen. That sounds like a spiritual attack to me. And I'm, that's why I'm thinking, highly recommending that she sprinkle that room with holy water before you go to bed at night, and say a perimeter prayer or some other prayer of protection, particularly to your guardian angel, to protect you during the course of the night as you're sleeping.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And I'm thinking about the fact that oftentimes God will rouse us from sleep to pray. This is not uncommon. 3 o'clock in the morning is a pretty typical hour for this to happen. I think it's because it's the hour of mercy. And so the Lord wakens us to pray during that time. But one of the ways in which we discern between the things of the Lord and things that are of the evil one is what comes up in us. When there is great fear, trepidation, worry, concern, that's not of God. Even if we are praying because there is a potential for something to happen, and let's face it, there's a potential for something to happen at any given moment in time. It can be a big corporate event like a war. It could be an invasion. It could be any of those things. We're living in outrageously tenuous times. Or it could be a sense of foreboding about one of our children. Something's going to happen to this child or that child. I suffered from that myself for a period of time following my son's death with regard to my daughters. But the fact of the matter is that when that fear, when that it's an overwhelming fear that almost renders us helpless, catches us in its grip, and we can't breathe, that's not of God. That's not of God. It's not the way that God works. Even if God is using, let me put it this way, giving us a prophetic gift that has us recognizing that something needs to be done now, we need to pray, It's not something that captures our will in that sense and makes us feel imprisoned by it. He just doesn't do that. Generally speaking, even though there might be a human concern about it, there is also on a deeper level of our being a peace that surpasses understanding. So, how do you shake it? I think, Sue, you give Marie very valuable advice and wisdom, great insight there on how you can protect yourself as you're going to sleep. When you get up in the morning, if it should prevail and it wakens you, then you grab those beads and you start to pray and just, repeat over and over again that beautiful prayer that Jesus gave to Faustina for us to pray. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. So I would check that out. I also might speak with, if you have a spiritual counselor or a priest that you're very friendly with, I would talk with him about that too. But it sounds very oppressive to me, and that's not a gift of the Holy Spirit. So I wouldn't want you to be straddling that kind of a thing. Would you agree, Sue?
Absolutely. I like the word oppressive. It's exactly what it is. That's what it sounds like to me, the way that Marie is describing it. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
It's oppression.
I hope that helps you, Marie. So get some holy water. Blessed salt wouldn't hurt. Go out to, Sue?
Catholic Exorcist. CatholicExorcism.com.
Okay, CatholicExorcism.com, and get some of those prayers and start to pray them. And, just as you said, Sue, build up your trust in Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you. What is trust? My little acronym, true resolve under severe testing. So you're being severely tested. The Lord's permitting it, that's for sure. But maybe that's why. Maybe he wants you to grow in a deep trust in him that no matter what happens, he is there for you. Let's go to Judy. Judy is in Alberta, and she is listening to us via Sirius XM station 130 as well. Judy, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thank you for taking my call, ladies. I know the show's almost over, so I'll try to condense this and make it really quick. I was just watching the documentary on EWTN about Mother Cabrini, and during part of that, she is using a rod to find water in the back of the one area where they had purchased this home and for the children, and there was no water. And in relation to that, I'm wondering about this, the grounding that everyone's doing now, talking about, when you're grounding to the earth and that electronic or whatever it is that's happening when you're walking bare feet in the earth and being able to get these blankets and stuff that are now helping you sleep better and helping chronic inflammation. Obviously, if Mother Cabrini was doing this kind of thing, she was doing something to try to, so I just want some clarification on that.
Good question.
Okay, that's grounding. And grounding is actually, scientifically speaking, there is no merit to it. The premise is that by, taking off your shoes and walking barefoot, that you're able to absorb electrons from the earth that can heal you. That's really the premise behind the whole thing. But studies have been done and absolutely no scientific evidence given for those assertions. Just because Mother Cabrini did it doesn't mean that it's the best thing to do. It's just that she can only go by the science that she knew at the time when she lived. Now that we've become so technologically advanced scientifically, which is also a gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of science, we have become advanced enough to be able to test things and be able to tell you whether or not these things actually work. And as far as grounding is concerned, it does not. It does not. And dowsing, looking for things, you got to be really careful that you don't fall into superstition with using a dowsing rod to think this rod's got some kind of power that's going to find water for you. That's another thing. That maybe in Mother Cabrini's time it was something that they were doing, but it's definitely not something that's got a whole lot of science behind it.
And we try to stick with the science on these matters. So I sincerely hope that answers your question, Judy, and helps you. Does it?
Yeah, that's great. I just wanted to make sure that there was no harm in it.
I don't think it's anything that you want to get involved in because it's superstitious. On one level, and on the other level, there is an association between divining rods and divination. So I would say that if it's not effective, why do it? And why open ourselves up to a potential involvement with something like that. Well, we got to leave it there, Judy. We've got to leave it there. I'm sorry we couldn't get to that last caller that called in. Sue, it's been great having you today. I don't know that I'll get a chance to speak with you in person before Easter, before Triduum and Easter, but a blessed Triduum to you and a happy Easter. And the same to all of you, although I'll be back with you again tomorrow morning here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Encouraging you to get out to our website, all kinds of good things there. Mentioned the New Age blog, mentioned Sue's podcasts on the New Age available for you. Also, lots of upcoming events. Yep, we're going to be doing bunches. Check it all out. God bless you now. Bye-bye.